15 to 20 million.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, which serves Philadelphia and the surrounding states of New Jersey and also Northern Delaware. I'm asking all of you to go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in. If they live at a distance where Mark Andel is today, you can have them tune in right now by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link, and you'll be able to join us for the entire hour. With me today, I have Mark Andel, who is on a special assignment. Rich Logis is on a special assignment. And Larkin Connolly is on the phone, up and ready to go. But first, I'm going to ask that we have a little report from Mark Andel. He's at a special business gathering. Mark, how's everything going out there?
Real good. Mike, I'm in Las Vegas. It's called the Hardware Retail Show. It's a national show that 17,000 buyers from around the country and world attend to pick up new products and you know, put in their stores, large, big box to small stores. So, Mike, it's huge. You know, the Las Vegas Convention Center is very, very big. And what's really neat, it's the first time we ever attended it. And we're a vendor. We're the Made in America store, but we're the Made in America distribution center here. And out of the 350 manufacturers that I support and supply their products in our stores, I'm supporting our manufacturing division, which is General Welding and Fabricating. So we have our fire ring set and our farm and ranch items that we build in our welding manufacturing shop. And what's neat is we're in the Made in America section, Mike. You'd love it. You know, this show, that shows how the movement, the job you're doing, the job the listeners are doing, and what we've done in the last, you know, three years here with the Made in America store. They are coming, buyers from around the world. I've talked to buyers from Austria, Australia, Europe, Germany. They want our products, and these are the top guys. These are the top buyers of the big stores around the world, and I didn't expect that. I didn't expect a lot of international buyers to be interested in our Made in America products. But it's a great, great show, Mike. It's, it shows just having a Made in America section with probably, I mean, thousands of, well, hundreds of Made in America products. It's a shame, you know, there isn't more in our section. But these products are made here. They're small mom and pops to large manufacturers, duct tape and, you know, channel lock and things in our area. So it's a really, really nice show.
And, Mark, can you ask them while you're there exactly how their distribution is in other parts of the country? I'd be very interested to know that.
Yeah, will do. And it's funny, they are looking for our products, Made in America. You know, I had a great talk with a guy from Australia. He's a buyer for a large distribution system that has 100,000 products. And they want Made in America products because, you know, he mentioned to me, they're still known for quality. And you know, then when the Europe gentleman came, he also wants products to distribute around the world. And I thought that was really neat. I didn't expect that. We got a 10 by 10 booth, Mike, you know, small. There was a lot that pulled us off. But if we can come out of here and land some good connections to support our General Welding and our Made in America Distribution Center, it'll be outstanding.
Mark, if anyone can do it, you can. There was something, I don't know if you had the opportunity to watch Monday evening's World News Tonight with Diane Sawyer, but they had a very interesting report. David Muir took a trip to Mexico to see what the Mexicans have available of American-made products in Mexico. Well, the report was extremely good. They love our American-made cars. And by the way, they sent a family in their supermarket and in another store to go out and see what they could find American-made. And believe me, it's impressive. But one of the things that was very interesting is some of the products that are made in America are not available as plentiful in the States because our merchandisers continue to make these foreign-made items available in our stores. Now, this is very, very interesting. But it shows the balance where more of our products are going over the border to Mexico, and as some of our people are buying the stuff that's assembled in Mexico and bought into Mexico, and in Mexico, that's what we're trying to do with the 50-50 balance. Now, when you're there at the show, Mark, tell me when the show started and how did it go?
Okay, the show started yesterday at 9 o'clock. We got a 3-hour time difference, so it's 8 o'clock here in Vegas. So it started yesterday at 9 o'clock, and it ran till 5 o'clock. And when them doors open, you have 17,000 buyers ready to go. It's unbelievable, the setup and the size. It's one of the largest convention centers in the country. And you have everybody from, Stanley Tool, Channel Lock, Weber, all your big Coleman, all your big displays. Awesome, but the size and what people went through to set these up. And these buyers are looking for new product. They're looking for Made in America product, but they come here once a year to, you know, find great products. So the size of the show is hard to imagine, and how much time. Me and Daniel, my partner here, we never stopped talking, collecting cards, getting the context, but we were impressed on how people want Made in America, and they know that people, the consumer, is requesting that. So everybody wants to find a Made in America product. And what's neat at the show, they made this area that houses Made in America products. And I thought that's awesome. When you talk about the Mexico wine products, I had two ladies come over, and their husbands run a company, and she wants our product in Mexico. It's so funny you bring that up. And I didn't expect, a lot of that international attention wanting our product. Now you see, China-made product, you see everything there, Mike. You would love, there's every walk of life in a buyer here. It's quite a show. It's just amazing how many items are here. But we have to make the next item here made in America and get these buyers to put this product in all these stores, small and large, throughout the country.
Absolutely. In fact, I see that in watching the news and seeing what's going on all of the television and cable networks, almost every week we hear about legislation being presented and passed in our great United States Congress. But I would like to propose today something like a private sector jobs bill for passage by the Congress and signed by the president. Now, when I say that, Mark, and Larkin, I'm not suggesting any type of government involvement with private sector businesses, because we all know that government doesn't belong in any other kind of business other than looking out for the well-being of the American people, which Mark is seeing right there at that show. There's no government officials over there. It's all private sector people doing their things, doing their thing to make some money, employ people, and add to the economy. But we don't have that focus in Washington, D.C., and in fact, in many of the state capitals all over the country. And what I'm suggesting today is the private sector jobs bill. I think it should be mandated long term, a mandate to give tax incentives that would benefit somebody like Mark and so many other listeners operating here in the United States, and giving them incentives to return to America as well. Since so many of the other issues that we have are mandated, why can't we mandate to ensure a healthy business environment here in America? Larkin, what would you add to that?
Well, good morning, Michael, and good morning, Mark. I'm very jealous. First of all, I would say that I am extremely aware of and have done many, many trade shows in Las Vegas. It is massive. I hope you wore the right kind of shoes, because that is very important. You're going to be on your feet all day long again today. But what a great opportunity to network. And I am fascinated that you can tell me that they're having this hardware show, which is, it's one of the most famous shows in the country, along with the restaurant show in Chicago and a few others, that there is a Made in America recognition out there. I think this is a huge step forward.
Yeah, and Larkin, I'll send you and Mike and pictures, and so the listeners can view it online, of the Made in America section. It's a large section, and they started it last year. And it shows the strength of the movement to dedicate a section of the show. And I know, Larkin, you're right. Your feet get sore. This is a big, big show. But it's awesome. One thing I didn't expect here, I had a gentleman walking around with a product. Now, they did it as low budget as they can to get in the show, but they brought one guy makes bungees. You know, he makes a rubber bungee, and he's an injection molder, and he came through, and he's got the old tough hand, and he had a machine shop, but he's, you know, it took it hard. The recession hit him hard through the last 3-4 years, but he's trying to market his product, so he showed me the product. It's a beautiful invention. It's unique. And he said, but, you know, he showed it to a company that actually sold it and, you know, took it to China. So he wants me to help market him. I was surprised. You get everything at this show. You know, they want our General Welding products. They love the Made in America story. Even the vendors next to us, one makes these plant, like for tomato plants and gardening accessories. But it's a fourth-generation manufacturing company. And very respectful. The other side of us is a guy that makes a weed eater, but it's a flame weed killer, and it's been around since 1950. But it's neat to see the manufacturers that I'm around that believe in our country, believe in our goals, but have been hit pretty hard, you know, with the overseas competition.
Mark, do you have a keynote speaker for this affair? Do you know?
I don't know right offhand because I came. We were going to have my buyer had a back problem, so me and Dan came alone. And you know how big the show is, so we really can't leave our booth. So yeah, I don't know who the keynote speaker. They do have a bunch of seminars, you know, going on the second floor.
Well, shame on them if they don't have a congressman or a senator, somebody with a national profile that can recognize the Made in America label and can address the issues, just as Michael has said. About some element of subsidies to help these companies who are employing Americans to create products made in America.
You know, Mark, I have a special request of you. While you're there, can you talk to some of the companies and ask them what they would feel would be the best way for them to get some help to some tax incentives to get their operations moving in a better direction? I'd like to know what they have to say. In fact, if you could get a few telephone numbers of a couple of companies, and we'll even call and discuss it with them on air.
Will do. And once in this Made in America roped off section, they have one lady I met. She runs the Made in USA brand. Made in USA, she started in 2008. I talked to her, and what she does is help companies become you know, properly made in USA by the Federal Trade Commission. So her website does a good job at helping a company that wants to display that Made in America or Made in USA logo, and it tells them how to do that and, you know, what percentage and what goods and what you can put on it. She was really, from her heart, she was doing it. I had a great talk with her. I said my logo became a good housekeeping seal, but she helps other people become Made in America where they can brag that and put that stamp on the product. So that was really neat to talk to her.
In fact, Mark, can you get her name and address and email? Maybe we can get her on, because the more I talk to people, the more I see that they want to get out of the bubble and move into the bigger picture to do something.
Absolutely. I'll have you pictures, and I'll get you cards and contacts. And, you know, Larkin, as you know, I mean, this is the place to do that, and it's impressive. Made in America can do a lot with this show, and I'm so glad, too, that they have this section, because that's how we can grow more products in our stores directly. These are the buyers that make it happen.
From year to year, this section gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
I'm hoping in this. Even a wall on a sign that says Made in America section, I mean, it's a 40-foot by 20-foot banner, but it's impressive. And they've got the signs and flags. They actually made a small book and donated probably a quarter of the small manual that they give out to, you know, Made in USA just for this particular area, and they flagged it. So a buyer, you know, I on the plane I met a buyer flying over here, two big buyers from a supermarket chain that's from us, you know, around us, real big. And we started to hit it off, and I told them where I was going. And they mentioned, they said, where are you? I said, well, we're in the farm and ranch area with our fire ring systems and camping products. And she goes, well, you know, I wouldn't go to that section, but she said they have a Made in America section. I said, that's where I'm at. She goes, because of that reason, I'm going to that section. And that was huge, because that's taking this buyer that's going to look and believes that they need more Made in America products because the consumer is demanding it. And it was neat to see. That was before I even started this journey, that this buyer was going there just specifically for that area and see what's in that area.
Oh, cheer me up. Absolutely the best. I have to say this. Today, in Philadelphia. This is Wednesday, May the 8th. From 2 until 6 p.m., we're having the Greater Northeast Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce is having their annual expo. It's called Your Road to Success. It is free of charge, and it's taking place at Holy Family University, and that's at 9801 Frankfort Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. It's going to be in the Campus Center building. That's 19114, and it is free. I'll be there around 2 o'clock. I hope to see some of our listeners there. In fact, they're even going to have Ron Jaworski stopping by, Jaws, as everybody knows him here in our area, from the Eagles. But it is today, Wednesday, May the 8th, from 2 until 6 p.m. at Holy Family University on the Campus Center building. And it's going to be great. Try to stop by. You're going to see some businesses represented. We're going to be talking about some issues. And of course, our main goal in everything that we do is to get that 50-50 balance that we've been promoting over a number of years. And guys,
Michael, you'll know somebody else there on the floor. That would be me, because SCORE will be present. We will have a booth, and we will be talking about Made in America.
Wonderful. So I spoke with Al this morning, Al Taubenberger, and of course he's the president of Northeast Chamber of Commerce. I'll be out there distributing my Made in America stuff and also American Workers Radio. So if possible, Larkin, are you going to be there too?
Yes, I will. I'll be there with a booth.
Wonderful. Then I will see you there at the expo. And this should be very good. In fact, maybe I'll get some extra flyers. You can give out the flyers to the people as well. And let's get this thing moving. Mark, you have no idea how people are pleased to hear about your story, a story that started out small and is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And my point with today's idea is, since we live in a very competitive world, and we already know that business investors always go where they get the best deal, it's the only thing to do, why not drop America's business tax rates and make investing in America the best place, the best deal to invest on the planet? You and I are talking about it. We're promoting that. I don't understand where the national leaders of this country are. When I talk to someone about getting the governors together, they say, oh, that's so difficult because governors of big states have different ideas than governors of small states. I said, there's too many excuses. When do we end this excuses and get started? I said, I'm going to email you another copy of the Blehash plan. You give it personally to the governor. Maybe one of these governors will get off their duff and hold a conference in their state.
You know what's neat, Mike, with this show, too, and Larkin, the people have integrity that are around me in these booths with Made in America products. It's been generation to generation past for some of them. Some are brand new. You see that entrepreneur spirit. And you really appreciate the integrity of these people. And it's from their heart, a lot of them, that some of them want to keep this open because their grandfather, you know, and other generations have it. Some of them are excited to try to get a brand new product out there. But you really get the feeling of the American dream. And that's neat. I always love that. I love that feel.
Well, Doctor, you have certainly the best personality to go around and talk to people. I'm asking that you go around and ask some of them for their suggestions as to what they would need to help, you know, get more jobs going, to what's happening with the health care as far as they're concerned. And maybe we can discuss it on future broadcasts after you get back from the show, because this is the only way we're suggesting and doing things amongst ourselves, because I'm concerned about what's happening in Washington and what's happening in Harrisburg and Trenton and Albany. They're all talk and no action. They keep telling me I don't understand. And I say, understand what? Exactly what do you mean I don't understand? There are so many important issues on the table. I said, there is no more important issue than someone having a job and being able to support themselves. When do you get that message? Are you guys able to stay on?
Yeah, I'll stay on a little longer, yeah.
Okay, We have to pause for a few commercials, and I have to tell you, I want to thank our sponsors for helping us maintain this broadcast, and do your best to support them as well. We'll be back in a minute and a half. The law firm of Dominic Rostovsky is located on the 30th floor of 1818 Market Street in Philadelphia. Whatever your legal needs are, contact the Rostovsky Law Firm at area code 215-913-6090. That's 215-913-6090. You can also visit the law firm of Dominic Rostovsky on the internet at rostovsky.com. Dominic Rostovsky, attorney at law, is available to assist you in the English and Polish language. Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and they feature Polish-style meats and deli products and a selection of imported products from Poland and Polish-American products. Stop by Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and see the great selection of products they offer. For more information, call Polka Deli at area code 215-634-3750. That's 215-634-3750.
For a snack or meal that's ready in minutes, trust the quality and variety of Giorgio. Giorgio's mouth-watering mozzarella or jalapeno cheese sticks and tempting home-style breaded mushrooms are the perfect meal or snack to fit into your family's busy schedule. Giorgio Foods, the standard of quality since 1928, can be found in the frozen sections of supermarkets across the country. Also, try their delicious variety of fresh mushrooms for a healthy way to add flavor to your favorite meal.
The Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, established in 1873, is the oldest Polish-American life insurance organization in the United States. They offer outstanding life insurance plans for men, women, and children from $5,000 all the way up to $1 million of coverage per person. The PRCUA is a national fraternal organization, so people can secure life insurance plans and annuities from anywhere in the USA. Their main office is in Chicago, and their satellite office is in Port Richmond, Philadelphia, at 2636 East Allegheny Avenue. The Philadelphia office is open Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., and if you're not available during those times, representatives will meet with you in the evening or during the weekend. For more information, call the PRCUA Philadelphia office at area code 215-425-3807. That's 215-425-3807.
For all of your banking needs, call on Washington Savings Bank, which offers checking and savings accounts, IRAs, CDs, home mortgages, and home equity loans, along with a host of other services at its five offices at 2701 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, 2548 East Lehigh Avenue in Fishtown, and in the Northeast at 2900 Comley Road, 10663 Busselton Avenue, and 8729 Frankfort Avenue. Banking hours at all offices of Washington Savings Bank are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. The Port Richmond Kazimierzwielki branch at Edgemont and Allegheny Avenue is also open on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information about the many services provided by Washington Savings Bank, call the main number in Philadelphia at area code 215-698-9400. That's area code 215-698-9400. or visit a Washington Savings Bank near you.
Welcome back to our Wednesday edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio. And as always, if you are just tuning in, go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860 or on the worldwide internet by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the link on the left side. I am here with two very, very distinguished business guests. One is Mark Andel, who is out there in Las Vegas. Have you been out gambling a little bit, Mark?
You know, my nephew wasn't around too much. He was never to Vegas. So yeah, we took a walk through and just showing him the sights. Not too much gambling. I laugh and I tell people I don't gamble, but they said, yes, you do, Mark. What's your business? you're a risk taker, right? So, but Vegas is looking good. I talk to taxi cab drivers is where I get all my information. You know, I guess, you know, a lot of people have been coming. They don't bring the money to Vegas that they used to. They'll come and they'll stay and just walk around. You know, we had a good talk about the history of Vegas. And the housing market is still down. You know, there's some buildings. I'm looking at one as we're talking at a building that was a billion-dollar hotel project with sitting there with some windows out of it. So, you know, there's still signs of the recession, that's for sure here. But we're enjoying ourselves. One thing at the show, though, Annan Flag is there, the oldest flag manufacturer in the country. They even made the flag for Iwo Jima. We're having a good talk, and I want to become a major. Of course, our flags, a lot of people don't realize, a lot of our flags, 50, 60% or better, are made overseas. So a good talk with Annan. I'm meeting the owner today. And Channel Lock is here, and we sell Channel Lock. We sell the ones in our store that are 100% made in America, the Channel Lock pliers and whatnot. But they're going to meet an American screwdriver company today, and they said, Mark, I might have a screwdriver coming for you. So that's very, very nice to hear.
Oh, wonderful. Day by day, step by step, inch by inch, this thing is going to move forward. And as I said, as I watched David Muir with his report on Monday, I said, things are starting to rock and roll. We got to move this thing along. But if you can, Mark, you're very important to this situation. We have to get these people back together. We have to get them sitting down, discussing exactly how we can do it. And of course, our national leaders, I keep harping on them, and they are getting the message that we are complaining because for too many years, we saw that national and state taxes and overregulations made it more profitable to move industries overseas and then import the products back for sale to the American people. And that simply can't continue. We just can't allow that to go on and on and on.
You know, Mike, I want to mention, too, and I think I mentioned it before, I'm involved with a movie called The American-Made Movie, and it's a documentary film. And what it does, it shows America where it's been. It shows Detroit and the times, the way, you know, we've dug our hole. But then it's also inspirational, and our story is part of the story. That's going to be coming out this summer. We got a movie tour. But I want to tie you, Mike, and Larkin, and Rich to the first screening, which is going to be in July. And I'll tell you more about it, but I think you're going to love it. We've been talking to the producers lately.
Well, you let me know when that's coming up, and we'll absolutely promote that to the best of our ability. The little clips that we can put on the site are really doing the job as well. People want to see those short clips to give them ideas. The sad part of what we see here in most areas is that there's not enough of these business conferences going on, and many people have no idea that they are taking place, even if they would want to go to it. Like today, as I mentioned earlier, we're having the Greater Philadelphia, Northeast Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce Expo. And it's entitled Your Road to Success. And everyone who's listening is invited to stop by. That's today, Wednesday, May the 8th, 2 to 6 p.m. Larkin is going to have a booth there. It is admission free. It's very easy to find. It's at Holy Family University, 9801 Frankfort Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. And the zip code, for those of you that put it in your GPS, is 19114. I'll be looking forward to seeing you there. Larkin, you heard what Mark is doing there in Las Vegas. What questions would you like him to ask some of the people that he'll be meeting?
Well, first of all, Mark, I have to congratulate you on managing to being up this early in the morning and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on the radio.
It's not
11:30 in Vegas right now, is it?
Right. Yes, I almost forgot that.
You'll get an extra cup of coffee, Mark, and be able to go through the rest of the day.
Exactly.
Yeah, Dan's putting on his Dr. Scholl right now in his shoes, Larkin, because you know how it goes with your feet.
Right. Well, you're going to meet just a wonderful, what an enormous networking opportunity this is for you and your initiatives. I just think it's fantastic. And I think the thing that that Made in America needs to do is to not put people on the spot, but ask the buyers, do you buy Made in America products? And to really kind of put them maybe not in an uncomfortable position, because they are buyers and you want to make them happy. But it would seem to me that that would be one of the questions that I would ask each and every one of those buyers. Do you buy Made in America?
How easy or difficult is it to find the products you need?
Right.
Yeah, I agree. You know, that's a great question. There's so much you can get out of this show. Not only are we promoting and trying to increase our manufactured products from General Welding to our Made in America store distribution and grow our company, which is the main reason we're here, but you do get to talk to these buyers, and that's a great question for these buyers and even the buyers from other countries. And I love that they are noticing consumers are demanding this. And Mike, and you know, your show and this whole thing, like you said, is just getting larger and larger like a snowball.
Well, I'm very happy. And of course, we got great people on our side. So many of the national radio stations are starting to throw in little reports about our efforts. And then you see someone like Diane Sawyer and David Muir doing their things. All of this influences people. They always say that the media has great influence. And I mean, they really do. And this is why our working on this one focus each and every week helps to make sure that people know that this is an agenda we're trying to promote. We have to make sure that people get to their elected officials, because we see today that people are unemployed, unable to purchase any type of product, no matter where it's made. No matter how you word it, it's made this way or that way. If you don't have the money, you don't have a job to be able to buy anything. This is where it's becoming a problem. And as I mentioned in so many of my past commentaries, it's time for America's national leaders to focus on what will help Americans first. Forget about the rest of the world. Put them in the second part of the agenda. Let's get our cities, our states, our communities up and going again. This is no one's fault but our national leaders.
I don't want to start a conversation about entitlements, but if we could just get our national leaders to redirect some of that money into creating small businesses, into having the grants, money, funding available, so people who do have an idea and a concept and a passion to pull that off as a small business person, that there is funding available. Because I'll tell you, there isn't a lot of money on the street right now, not at all.
You're absolutely right, Larkin. And one of the things that I don't think national leaders have been responsive to is they seemed for years just to throw money at problems and hope they'll go away. Well, they don't go away. You have to lead to make it viable again. My situation with the entitlements is that people should be told immediately that they have to go to some job training program, whether it's a formal job training program, whether it's seminars where people get together and hear people discuss like problems, what did you do, you know, in school, what should you be doing now, what could you be doing? There has to be something done other than just send the people the money and they can, you know, not have any concern about it in the future. It just doesn't make sense to me. I want to say, too, that recently I was told by a good elected official, and we may have an elected official visiting with us on next Wednesday's broadcast. I'm not sure, so that's why I don't want to say for sure. But today we see so many people unemployed, and they keep saying, oh, unemployment's going down and this and that. But Larkin, do you agree that they're not counting in the people who are discouraged workers and people who are just off all government subsidies?
I think that, I do think that that number, 7.5% or wherever it is right now, is probably a little trumped up. There are people who have ceased looking, that have been looking for so long that they just are off the rolls altogether. I don't think it's a legitimate number. And I think there are a million different reasons why it isn't. But, you know, they stand there and they pound their chest and pat themselves on the back about getting unemployment from 8% to 7%. That's not a long-term answer. A long-term answer is strengthening the economy. The business of the United States of America is business. And until you recognize that strong business, a strong core, a strong foundation, is what's going to make this a happy and healthy country, you're just kidding yourself.
Mm-hmm. Larkin, last week I asked the question, if there was any particular elected official nationally that you know of that was preparing jobs bills or anything like that. And believe it or not, I researched a little bit, and there's no one really on the horizon. And that's really unfortunate. So that's why I thought to myself, well, then maybe it's time for us to keep hammering at a private sector jobs bill. A private sector jobs bill would help the private sector with tax incentives and training programs, but not get government involved. It seems everything that government gets involved in, somehow it, you know, gets overregulated. There's mandates and this and that. Next thing you know, we're down in the dumps again. I think it's time for government to get out of the business of overregulating people, get them back into the business of making things. America has to make things, period. We can't depend on someone else to make our stuff and send it over to us. Could you imagine if we had an emergency here in the USA and we drove around and we said, well, there it was made, and we had clothing made there, we had shoes made there. Well, unfortunately, we would have to say we have to depend on all foreign products to fill those needs. That should be ended, as far as I'm concerned. What do you guys say?
No. Yeah, you know, to get healthy and self-sufficient, Mike, is my plan with my Made in America and General Welding. I mean, that's what the country has to do. Get healthy, get self-sufficient. You know, at the show here, I see drive and ambition in this Made in America area, you know, that can-do spirit. And we need to get that back. And I know, Larkin, you work with the young and the older in, you know, starting in the business with entrepreneurs. We have to get that back. We have to help them, though. We have to give them the tools to be able to pull that off and not put too many rocks on them, or, you know, too much weight on their shoulders. You know, we can make it easier to start a business and grow these companies and invent that next TV and, you know, make that next product here, because we need to be more self-sufficient. It is scary if we really have to depend on everybody overseas to make certain things. And I think when the tsunami hit, you know, that was proof when Chevy didn't have the panels and the electronics to finish their cars, because we were depending on them. And I think it took 2 to 4 weeks and it backlogged them, you know, back in that era.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm going to ask you to do another thing. While you're there with the people, ask them what percentage of the suppliers that they have are here in America, and what percentage of their supplies come from overseas that they mainly have to depend on. That's very interesting.
Will do. You know, and that lady that runs this Made in USA and is trying to get people to, you know, put the percentage of what's made in America on their product and, you know, really showcase that Made in USA, because she knows if people have a choice and they know that it's made here, they will make a better choice. They'll even pay a little more. So I love what she's doing, too.
Yeah, we have to get that message to the people that even if you have to pay a little more, pay it. Maybe you don't need 3 pairs of something. Buy 2 or buy 1, but support American made. You know, that brings me to another point. Recently, I was told, oh, Michael, you're complaining about these national leaders. America already has funds appropriated in the federal budget to promote jobs in the USA. Well, I'd like Larkin to tell me where that money is. Maybe he knows some contacts. Well, I asked them to send me the information. I said, you can email it to me. You could mail it to me, whatever you want to do. And let me know how much money is in that portion of the federal budget proposed specifically for jobs. Which department is funding the promotion of the jobs? And what have they accomplished during the last 10 years? I told them that last week. Of course, it's only a week, so I can't expect, you know how it is. I may have a beard as long as Santa Claus by the time I get the reply, but I did put the question out. So, Larkin, if you know of any person or the department that we can contact. I know we had Dave on here who gave us some information. Maybe we would be able to find out information and start directing people who are interested to go for some of the loans, some of the training, you know, go to some conferences. That's what we're lacking. We're seeing all television shows talking about everything, Dancing with Stars and everything else, but we don't see people being educated about what they can do to help themselves, maybe go into a business, maybe do what Mark did, have a few family members part of the business, friends, neighbors, to keep communities alive and strong. We're just not seeing it.
Well, there are a variety of programs that the FBA administers, but they are primarily loan guarantee programs where the FBA, you go to a banker just as you would normally, to borrow money to do a certain, for a certain reason, to support your business, to start a business, to move to the next level. And they guarantee, you know, you have to find the banker, and the banker will say, yes, with SBA backing, I will lend you this money. And essentially what's happening is that the SBA will back or insure anywhere from 75 to 90% of the loan, so that if the loan does go bad, the SBA, in fact, pays that money to the bank, so the bank is obviates itself from any exposure to big losses. There are those deals, but I mean, there are caveats involved in even those programs. You have to have been in business for 3 years. Well, that doesn't help an entrepreneur who has an idea that he or she wants to develop in a small business that they want to start.
You know, Larkin, I'm going to ask that you maybe talk to Dave Dixon and a couple other people. Maybe we could do a few on-air broadcasts. It doesn't have to be exactly on Wednesdays, but we could do it on another day where we could tell people, if you're interested in starting a business, that there is some help or there's not help. Let them know what is what, and maybe we can do a promo to get people to tune in for this special question and answer type of effort.
Sure. And David would be glad, as you well know, David would be glad to come on behalf of the SBA and represent their programs.
We have to do it. And I tell you guys, your names and your attitudes and your ability to show leadership and discuss your possibilities of you know, bringing people together has been very important. As I travel in the communities, I'm going to go around today there at the annual expo, and I'm going to mention it once again. If anyone is in the sound of our radio broadcast living in our tri-state area, you can get on I-95, get off the Academy Road exit between 12 and 6 p.m. You are invited, admission free, to the annual expo, the Road to Success Expo, sponsored by the Greater Northeast Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce, and that'll be at Holy Family University, 9801 Frankfort Avenue, and it'll be in the Campus Center building. I look forward, and Larkin looks forward, to seeing you there. Remember, it is admission free. Mark, if you were going to go interviewing the people, what are some of the questions you would ask them that you'll ask them and maybe share that information with us next week?
Well, at the show here, you know, I'm going to ask them a lot of what we talked about. I want to ask these buyers a little more once I make my contact and connection, you know, how it is swinging. You know, what is their report? Do they see, you know, firsthand, do they see these consumers demanding more Made in America products? Obviously, that's why they're coming to see me, but I want to know right from them, and I want to know what they're doing, what part are they doing, or what are they instructed to do by the owners of these companies, you know, to make Made in America and have a little more patriotic loyalty and really have the, you know, less greed and less thinking about our children's future. I just want to ask the key questions to the suppliers, you know, ask them how they're doing, what kind of help do they need, what would they like to see from our government officials or programs, and also these younger people or older people that come up with a new invention there for, like Larkin's mentioning, how could they, what type of help would they want? Cash flow is always a problem. They're risk takers. It's very hard to get loans to get a new project or product off the ground. So I'll be asking a lot of good information today. I do have to get rolling pretty soon here because it's 8:45. It opens at 9.
Okay, Mark.
No, we're gonna get some information for you.
We're depending on you to do your best as you always do. And of course, if you can spread the word about AmericanWorkersRadio.com, I'll appreciate your doing that as well.
I will, Mark, and I'll try to get some people to, you know, call in, especially the Made in USA label certification lady.
Oh, I'd like to speak to her very much because I think that as more people hear about these things, they're becoming more enthused. Mark, have a good time at the expo. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Mike and Larkin. Have a great day.
Now, Larkin, tell me a little bit about what's going to be happening today at the expo there in Northeast Philadelphia.
Well, it is in the category of small business assistance, I think it's probably the Northeast Chamber of Commerce's best shot at allowing all of its members and all the surrounding community to learn about commerce in the Northeast, in the area that Al Trachtenberg's organization serves. So there'll be a lot of assistance people out there. You know, myself. I wish I could put my finger on exactly who else will be there, but I go to these things quite a bit.
Well, my whole purpose there is I'm going to promote some of those businesses. I'm going to ask some of them as I go around if they can bring on more products. There'll be a few foreign manufacturers and representatives there as well, and I'm going to ask them, just as we saw with David Muir on Monday, that to start bringing more American-made to their store, because it is a respected label. People love saying that they have American-made products in their stores. They love driving American-made cars. It's really great to see that. And in the future, we have got to get to that 50-50 balance, because as I said earlier, unless we get the people back to work, no matter what's going on in the world, they're not going to be able to buy what they need and live a quality of life. So, Larkin, this is going to be very, very interesting today.
It'll be a great day. I'll meet an awful lot of nice people. I'll meet an awful lot of entrepreneurs and current businessmen who are there to shake hands with their brethren. Who are also in the small business arena. These things should happen more often. I've told Al that on many occasions. But it'll be very successful, and I guarantee you, you will meet a unique element in this country, the entrepreneur, the business owner. They are a unique brand. They truly are. If I walk into a circle of four men and women, and the percentage of those people are entrepreneurs as opposed to being hired by a major corporation or working for somebody, after about 3 minutes, I can point to the entrepreneurs. That's an entrepreneur, that's an entrepreneur, that's an entrepreneur. They wear their emotions and their concern on their sleeves. They're the fabric of America, and it'll be fun to see a lot of them today.
I agree 100%. And, you know, as you are talking with them today, Larkin, and I'll do the same thing. If you can ask them what type of incentive would help them to expand what they're doing right now in the USA. I mean, we have to give suggestions. We have to present suggestions. I'm not interested in hearing the same old complaints. So we have so many things on the agenda. My question is, what is on the agenda that's going to benefit you and I, our children, our family members, friends, and our neighbors? What's going to benefit America first?
And I think it's exactly what we talk about every week, Michael. I think it's exactly what your initiative points its finger at, and that is made in America. We have got to develop a new level of pride in this country, and it all surrounds that. I hate to keep on going back to the same phrase, but the business of America is business.
Yes, absolutely, because we can't throw money at programs and hope that it's going to make everything right. That's, as Rich Loges would say, it's the Wizard of Oz idea. We have to get back to getting people employable, have them master something, a job skill that would employ them for life. Not, you know, hem and haw, well, we need this, we need that. We're worried about this, you know, country getting out of line. We got to worry about America. A strong America here on our shores will benefit the entire world. That's how I feel.
You're exactly right. You are exactly right. And it's that type of enthusiasm that made in America can and will do. And I've said this to you a million times. I say it every week. Made in America is a huge thing in 2013 in this country. It's going to be even bigger in 2014.
Oh, excellent. You cheer me up. What we have to do, Larkin, as I said to Mark, and I mentioned to Rich Loges many times, we have got to get these merchandisers. Because I keep talking about the merchandisers and the elected officials, because they are really the people that control how things could improve in America as far as jobs. Our whole focus is getting jobs for people. The way you do that is get businesses to expand. If you can get businesses to expand because it's easier for them to do business overseas, it's all defeating our purpose in the United States of America to keep our people employed. We have a generation of people who have gone through some very difficult times without a job, without a skill. And that has to change. There's, even in the school system, Larkin, where I go, people tell me that school is too much of a problem. Everything is a problem. The people are no longer interested in you. They're interested in discipline and this and that. They should be interested in how are you going to succeed once you walk out those school doors for the last time.
You know, this was said to me last week, and I forget where I was, but I was talking to an educator, and we were talking about the core problems. I mean, the fundamental problems with learning in America, and why we're 12th in English and 26th in science and 38th in math in the world. Those are just, to me, just deplorable numbers. Why is that? And this individual, this young lady, said to me, close your eyes and stop and think about all the teachers you ever had, all of the teachers that taught you, the teachers that had an influence on you. You liked them. You can't learn from a teacher you don't like. And I thought, you know, that's one of the most profound things I've heard in a very, very long time. I never did. I learned the most from teachers who I genuinely liked.
And you knew and you saw that they were there for you.
And that they had a vocation and that they had a belief in what they were doing. And they were as enthusiastic about me learning as I was. And it's really important. Education is just one of those problems. There are so many things wrong with the education system right now. It's hard to really turn in the right direction. I mean, it's the collapse of the family unit. I know the phone's probably going to ring off. It's the unions more concerned about wages and all the rest of that garbage as opposed to teaching and the successes that they bring. It's large administrative efforts instead of teachers running the schools, it's administrators. And, you know, I could probably talk for 20 minutes.
You know, every time I hear the news that every school district across the country needs more money, and I keep saying to myself when I hear those reports, what are they doing with the money now? In fact, in some school districts, the number of students has gone down, yet the cost has gone so high, it's unbelievable. Where's the justification of what you're doing with the money you're receiving right now? That's what I'd like to see happen with this private sector jobs bill, something that we could use as a new long-term guide outlining reasons why doing business would be a key to success for business investors, American workers, and America's economy. Finding the person in Washington is going to be the most difficult thing to do because all of the people in Washington have their family, friends, donors, and everybody else in business to cater to. And if they're not on the same sheet of music, that national leader doesn't want to propose the private sector jobs bill. That's what I'm learning.
Unfortunately, elected officials have one primary objective in life, and it's really too bad, but it's almost universal, and that is, how do I get elected next year? Or in 3 years, or in 6 years, when I have to run again.
And you know, sometimes when those elected officials are on the radio, I hear them talking. They say, "Well, my first thing is I have to consider my reelection right now, and then once I get reelected, I'll be able to continue doing more positive things." I'm saying to myself as I hear that, "No, tell me the positive things that you're going to do, so I can want to go out of my way to get you reelected."
Exactly.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, we are coming closer and closer. I want to thank Larkin Conley for being with us today. I will see him at the Greater Northeast Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce Expo today. If you're interested, stop by between 12 o'clock. They're having their lunch, which I'd love to be there, but I'm here. So from 2 to 6 p.m., it is admission free. Remember, that's at Holy Family University, and that's in the Campus Center building. And I'm looking forward to seeing Larkin and Al Taubenberger and all the gang over there. I'll have my Made in America flyers as well as American Workers Radio. Larkin, if you can help give some of them out at your stand, I would be, you know, especially appreciative as well.
You know, I'd be more than happy to, Michael.
In the meantime, I'm going to ask all of our listeners if they would think what national leaders from their own individual communities could be contacted to help us promote the private sector jobs bill. Until next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11 a.m., I wish all of you the very best. David Zenya.